the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you're here in the Central Coast of California, but please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us Mr. Brian Garris, and he is over in England. It's about midnight there, but he's kind enough to stay up to be with us to tell the American people what's happening to British sovereignty. Now, the average American doesn't understand that there is a move to destroy British sovereignty any more than they understand that there's a move to destroy American sovereignty, and the reason that they're not guarding our borders is because our leaders don't believe in American sovereignty. The reason they're sending our jobs and our factories and our wealth overseas is because our leaders don't believe in American sovereignty. The reason, that so much of what's going on today, the reason that the Bush administration refuses to use the federal laws to prosecute the lawbreakers, the great corporations that are hiring illegal aliens, is because they want to unite all of countries of the world, starting with America, the United States, and Canada, and Mexico, into one government, one entity, do away with your currency, destroy your life savings. They know what they're doing. They have a different agenda. They worship a different God. Well, that is a background. The same thing is happening over in England, and Mr. Garris is part of a group movement over there trying to reach the British people and let them understand what the loss of British sovereignty will ultimately mean to them and their posterity. Mr. Garris, thank you so very much for being with us.
Yes, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing. It sounds like you were just right in the next room. Well, tell us a little, how did you get involved in this effort to try to awaken the British people? Because, it sounds so absurd that your leaders would actually be betraying Great Britain.
Well, it sounds absurd, but it's certainly true. And the truth of the matter is that I got involved by just starting to notice that some strange things were happening about 4 years ago. I was beginning to watch a greater and greater influence from the European Union, but nothing was ever reported in the papers and nothing was reported on the TV. And I continued to watch this, and I started to realise that something was wrong, but I didn't take too much notice until I got involved in a community project.
All right, and what happened then when you were involved in the community project?
Well, we a group of us tried to help people in a deprived area where there was a need to help create new jobs and get skills training and some education going. This was an old part of the city of Plymouth called Devonport, which is very close to the naval base, and essentially as the naval base and the defence industry has got smaller, so the number of jobs declined. And we came up with a plan to regenerate some of the buildings, and we also wanted to build small boats, including ultimately an HMS Beagle. And the community were very enthusiastic. Everything was going extremely well, and we had some help from the local authorities. And then it was very strange. One day, all the help stopped. So all the people from the city council walked away from us, and from some of the new government departments, they walked away. Telephones weren't answered, emails weren't answered, and letters weren't answered.
All right, fine. Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Mr. Brian Garris. We're talking about the effort to destroy British national sovereignty, to destroy Great Britain. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Mr. Brian Garris, and he is from Great Britain. It's about midnight over there, and he was telling how he really got involved in what's going on. And it was some few years ago when he and another group of people were trying to help a blighted area, outside of Plymouth in Great Britain, close to Devonport. And they were going to go ahead, and they were going to begin building various ships. In fact, I suppose you were really going to be sort of helping them to get some sort of an industry there.
Well, that was the idea, but just enough so that people perhaps who hadn't had jobs for some time, or young people, could do some basic skills training. But the very strange thing was that all of a sudden we weren't popular, and when we tried to find out why with the local authorities, strange things started to happen. We started to be threatened, and this included myself, it included other people. And what we began to detect was a very hard bullying attitude from the public sector. We were very puzzled about this, but we continued to try and put the project together. And then one evening a friend of mine asked if I would meet a gentleman who said he was interested to talk about what was happening to us. And when we talked with this man, he felt that the problem was a very strange organisation purpose, and we discovered that effectively it was a so-called training initiative, an adult education initiative, but it seemed to act more like a political form of Freemasonry. So people, members, were hidden, but clearly they were working together. And we discovered that in Plymouth alone there were probably about 350 people involved, and ultimately about 18,000 across UK as a whole. This then led to the fact that Common Purpose seemed to be working to create a new society with selected leaders and getting people and organisations to work in partnership.
And of course, this was then a secret organization. Most people were totally unaware of it. But it was going to thwart you, because if you provided jobs where you were helping these people, then they would not be dependent upon, of course, this organization. We'll be right back here with Mr. Garris. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and you know the strange thing is most Americans really don't believe in secret societies. After all, Rush Limbaugh says that there is no such thing as secret societies, and anybody believes them is a kook, and he totally ignores over 2 million Masons, between 2 and 3 million Masons, the Rosicrucians. They even have a temple over in San Jose, the Theosophists, the Skull and Bone Society, you know, put people into the Kia positions in our government, and of course, you know, both presidential candidates in 2004, both George Bush and John Kerry, came from the same little secret society that only has 15 new members every year. Isn't it amazing? What a coincidence it would be. They both came from the same secret society, and yet you'll find things very, very similar over in Great Britain. There really are secret societies and secret organizations, and some, of course, you can identify, like the Royal Institute of International Affairs over there, but I dare say there's not one in 110,000 British who realize that, of course, its origin was in Freemasonry, and with the little secret society that Cecil Rhodes created back in 1891 that came out of the occult. But pick up the story there, Mr. Garris.
Well, you've covered a very interesting point there, because Common Purpose, I would call it quasi-secret, because you can find it on the website, but the important thing is that people don't declare their graduate membership of the organisation. So within a local authority, as we'd call it, you have people who belong to it. They have had their courses paid for out of the public purse, and that would be about $10,000 for an average course. But you, the taxpayer, wouldn't know that the people had actually done the course.
And what would the course be? What were they being trained for?
Well, we from the research we've done, and we've now done a considerable amount of research, the course appears to be quite innocuous. You get a group of people together in a closed environment, in a hotel or a golf club, and then what you're doing is basically working on them to get them to see that probably the old style of democracy is dead, and what is needed is a new style of society where people work in partnership together.
Well, this is basically, we have the same thing here. We call it DiaPrax, so get the people together. You have a facilitator. You learn the techniques of manipulating people. It's all about manipulation. They're doing that in our corporations. They do it in our government. They're doing it in our churches today. That's what the church growth movement is all about, is a means of manipulating people and getting them to go along with the secret agenda. But the average individual, whether they be working in corporations or government or in our churches, don't understand what that agenda really is. So what have you discovered? Because it sounds very, very similar to what we have here.
Well, what we've discovered is certainly that the sorts of techniques that you've mentioned are being used. It may be Delphi, the way the meetings are run. It could be group psychology, neuro-linguistic programming. I believe those sorts of techniques are used.
Absolutely.
But ultimately, you want the people who come through the training to be working together for a different agenda.
But of course, what is that agenda, Brian? That agenda would be to change society?
Absolutely. To change society so that your democratically elected leaders are bypassed and common purpose talks about occupying the space between elected leaders and effectively other institutions. So they want to cut through the links which say that one person has a vote and that vote elects a democratic leader to represent them. I believe it is a very dangerous approach, because what you effectively do is cut people off from democracy.
But of course, and one of the things that has happened in Great Britain is that you have a European Parliament which totally bypasses Parliament itself of Great Britain. In other words, they come down with edicts, many of them put together by the bureaucrats who work for the European Union administration, and your elected representatives are simply figureheads. Exactly as here in the United States, we have elected representatives, but they twist their arms, they bribe them, they do all sorts of things to get them to go along with the administration's program. So what we're doing is really doing away with the so-called democratic or representative government, and you have ruled really by an aristocracy. Is this the way that they're heading in Great Britain?
Yes, I couldn't have put it better, but the whole process has been extremely subtle, very devious. And it's been very noticeable that almost nothing gets reported in papers, in the newspapers or on the television or on radio stations. But what they have done essentially is to set up a dual system of local government, well, of national and local government in UK. So if I try and give people a picture, since we're talking on the radio, if you can imagine two trees standing next to each other, and the left-hand tree is our traditional democracy in Great Britain. So we have the Queen, we have the House of Lords, we have Parliament, we then have what we call county councils, we have district councils, and then parish councils, which look after the very small towns and villages. Now, that is the way it normally works, and obviously you elect members of Parliament to be your democratic representatives in Parliament. The right-hand tree has been very carefully grown, and what happens with the right-hand tree is that at the top you have the office of the Deputy Prime Minister, you then have the government office of the regions, the regional assembly, and the regional development agencies. And these organizations, which we largely call quengos, are basically the EU government in the United Kingdom.
In other words, these are extensions of the government that exists over in Strasbourg and in Brussels, right?
Yes, absolutely. And what has happened is that the public servants, the bureaucrats, who fill these organisations are accountable to the European Union rather than the Parliament of UK.
And of course, this is really all of part of this program to reconstitute the Temple of Babel. And the Temple of Babel is the prototype for the European Union. Any of our listeners have ever seen that poster that was circulated in all over Europe, and it shows the incomplete building of the Temple of Babel, surrounded by occult stars. There are five-pointed stars with a point down below, and of course the whole idea of reconstituting what Nimrod had tried to do at building the Temple of Babel. And what's really so interesting is that there, I think it's in Strasbourg, they've actually put up a building for the European Union, which is patterned after this poster, which shows the incomplete Tower of Babel. And it's an incomplete building, specifically built that way, and it's complete, but built to give you that idea that this is carrying out this ancient plan. Do you think the average British person understands the spiritual implications of what's going on?
Well, certainly the average person doesn't, but what has been quite noticeable to me, and I'm somebody who has gained a faith over the recent years, over the last few years, that if you talk to the more evangelical Christians in UK, particularly those who study away from the established churches, they do understand, and they see a European Union being created exactly as you say on Babylon, and they regard it as an extremely evil and dangerous organisation, and I agree entirely. But the average person in the street is not told anything about the way that their democracy is being dismantled. They're not told anything about the way that more and more European rules run this country. And of course, all of those rules are created in the European Parliament.
And my understanding is out of that front of that building in Strasbourg, where they have the incomplete Temple of Babel reconstructed. Beautiful building, you know, if you look at it, a lot of glass. But you know, they have a statue of a woman riding a beast. You know, that comes right out of the Revelation.
Well, that is absolutely right. And it's one of the fascinating things that if you study your Bible and you look at Daniel and Revelations in Ezekiel, then the story of the creation of this monster is really told very clearly in the Bible, including this sort of symbology. And I think certainly it has led me to believe very, very strongly that although politics and men are driving the problem on the ground, the problem is really spiritual.
And of course, you're absolutely right, and that is the recurrent theme of our program, trying to make people understand, if you look at things that they don't make sense, it is because you don't have all of the dots together. And when you understand this is a spiritual battle, and there are powerful spiritual forces aligned against freedom, aligned against the sovereignty of Great Britain, and aligned against the sovereignty of America. And of course, in Great Britain, why, these forces go right into the leadership of both political parties, just as here in the United States. Both George Bush and John Kerry running for president in 1994, they were both globalists. Do you remember, of course, the debate over globalism? There wasn't any. They're both going the same direction. But they can't tell the American people any more than they can tell the British people what this is all about. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Mr. Brian Garris as we explore this whole idea of destroying the sovereignty of nations throughout the world. We're in the process of doing it in the Middle East. Of course, at the point of bayonet and the point of the weapons, and perhaps the same thing will be happening here in America before long, and in Great Britain, if we cannot convince the people what's going on. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our guest is Mr. Brian Garris. So, Mr. Garris, why don't you pick up the story? What sort of luck have you had to getting this message out? Whatever happened to your effort to try to do something there in Plymouth or Davenport to help the people?
Well, it's been quite a story because although the boat project has had to be put on hold, what has happened is that what we've discovered, we've worked extremely hard to try and get out to to the wider public in Plymouth and Devonport. And as we started to do that, and particularly as we began to put words on paper, it's been very interesting because we've been contacted by other groups in UK who've given us information and encouragement. But also we seem to have discovered something special with this organisation, Common Purpose. And a number of us have been invited to talk to other groups. It's very strange. We're here in 2006, and I'm talking obviously from UK, but it's like living in some sort of war environment, because we have groups of people underground who talk about their phones being tapped, who talk about being threatened and intimidated by the public services and the police. And why should all this be happening? Because people are standing up and saying, we do not want to be ruled by the European Union. So on one hand, we started with a small project, but we now feel that there is a growing movement in UK to get the message out. But it requires people to talk in very simple ways to their friends and family and to tell the truth.
Well, I think it's so great that I know that you're working with our friend Robert Theobald and other people over there, other dedicated British patriots who are trying to save the sovereignty of your nation. And there really are people who are intent upon destroying it. And the tragedy is that the average individual finds this so hard to believe. That Tony Blair, why, he seems like such a nice man. You may not agree with his politics, but he seems such a nice man that he would be intent upon betraying the nation that he is supposedly supporting. And the same thing would be here, and whether you like George Bush or not, to believe that he is a traitor dedicated to globalism, and that John Kerry, who ran against him in 2004, was exactly the same. And none of our commentators will tell us. What about the media over there? Is there any way that you can get the truth out through the media? Do you have newspapers or radios or television that'll tell the British people the truth?
Well, the answer is very few of those organisations. A major problem for us at the moment is the BBC. The BBC, which I think most people in, well, perhaps a lot of people in the world would regard as a fair and open organisation, now reports almost nothing on the European Union and the takeover of UK by the European Union. And perhaps this is not so surprising, since the European Union now gives the BBC several tens of millions of euros per year. So we can see that our national broadcasting company has been bought by the EU.
We have a saying here in the United States, and that is, he who pays the piper calls the tune. He who pays the piper calls the tune. And if you're giving tens of billions of billions or millions of dollars to BBC. Well, our guest is Mr. Brian Garrison. He's just saying that over in Great Britain, you really can't get anything out through the BBC because, of course, they're getting a large stipend from the European Union. And the people who are doing this, who are trying to destroy the sovereignty of not only Great Britain, but all of the nations in Europe, and certainly working very closely with the people who are trying to destroy the sovereignty here in the United States of our nation and every nation in the Western Hemisphere, they don't want the people to know because they don't believe in majority rule. They have an agenda, and they intend to carry it out, irrespective, you know, of whether the people want it or not, and how many people will die unnecessarily in the coming struggle. So are you making any progress?
I'm going to say we are making progress, and to be able to speak on your radio I think is part of that, but one of the things that we've stuck with is to tell the truth. And for us in UK dealing with the European Union, a key part of the truth is what the European Union really is and where it's come from. And I think we have to be very blunt here and say that although we can go back into the 1920s and say that various people, there's a certain Mr. Monnet who was very keen on the idea of a federal Europe, but where does the European Union really stem from, And the answer to that is work done by the Nazis, and it was a Nazi document written in 1942, which is the main document which forms the backbone of the European Union Constitution. Now, most people have no idea about this. The document is available on the web. You can get an English translation. And if you read it, it starts to set out the basic framework for a Europe where there are no national borders, there are only regions, there are some regions for agriculture, there's some regions for industry, there's collectivized transport, and essentially what it defines is a police state. And that is what is coming in the European Union, is a fascist police state.
And I think you're absolutely right. In fact, we have a movie, I don't know if they show it over in Great Britain, but it's one of my favorites, called The Sound of Music. Did you ever see that with Julie Andrews?
I'm the only person of my age in the UK that's never seen The Sound of Music.
Well, at one point, why, of course, Captain Von Trapp, who was supposedly her husband, he's putting on this party in this beautiful mansion they have in Austria, and one of the Nazis comes up to him and says, "Captain Von Trapp, of course, you will support the new order." You know, and I just sort of shuddered at that, because that's what the Nazi movement was all about. It was this new order, a new world order. And, of course, it did not start with the Nazis. It started with the occult forces that motivated that. The Nazi swastika is the symbol of the ancient secret societies. It's been around for a long time. In fact, if you go into the tomb at Yale University, the Skull and Bones tomb, where both John Kerry and George Bush were brought into this secret society that they belong to, we have from a number of sources of people who've been there, the walls are adorned with swastikas, not because it's a symbol of Nazism, because it's a symbol of the ancient mystery religions and secret societies that they are, of course, part and parcel of it, that long antedated the Nazi movement. So I think people have to understand there is a powerful spiritual force behind this movement, isn't there?
There is. But what I'd like to add, and I think this is very important, that we can talk fascism, and this is what it is, but there is some quite complex politics after the Second World War where we see a fascism mixed in with a Soviet socialism. And I think that many people have had the wool pulled over their eyes. They think that the Soviet Union has disappeared. It has not. It is still there. It is still working as a socialist state. And I believe, and many others believe, that it is working to help ferment this EU. Indeed, some people have called it an EU-Soviet.
Well, of course, every communist supports this idea of world government. And, of course, the EU is simply a stepping stone to that. Every communist supports it. Every socialist supports it. Every humanist supports it. But what most people don't understand is every New Ager and people dedicated to these occult beliefs and ancient mystery religions, they all support it, too. And it is the major driving force behind everything going on today. A one world government, and the European Union is simply a stepping stone to that. Would that be a fairly accurate appraisal?
Yes, it is. These people, and let's talk about evil people, they were in existence in the First World War or the Second World War. Evil people exist around us, and they have had a plan, and the plan has been to destroy principally Christian Western society.
Hold that thought right there, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Mr. Brian Gerrish, G-E-R-R-I-S-H, and he was talking about the fact that there are people. They were there in the First World War, they were there in the Second World War, and their plan is to destroy Western or Christian civilization. Would that be a fair appraisal?
It's a completely fair appraisal. I'd like to, if I may, there's an excellent book which was written by a gentleman called Christopher Story, which is called the European Union Collective. And in that book is a, I'll call it a matrix, is a sort of spreadsheet of ideas, and it shows a plan for demoralizing and then destroying Western society. And when you read it, it provides a wonderful overview. That's not a very good word, wonderful, but it's a very comprehensive overview, which shows how each area of our society will be targeted. And significantly, the first area to be targeted is religion, especially true Christianity. That is to be weakened and made false so that we're left with emptiness and ignorance. The family is to be attacked, foster breakdown, destroy marriage, destroy loyalty, leaving the state to claim it. The population is to be urbanized, and the countryside is to be neglected. Culture, we are to substitute false cheap heroes. Now, as I read through this list, and I'm sure many other people, and I do recommend this book.
Give that name one more time, please.
The book is called The European Union Collective, and the author is a gentleman called Christopher Story.
All right, fine. That's the European Union Collective, and of course, Christopher Story. We've certainly talked about him and know a little bit about him in the past. When did he write the book?
That is a good question. I think it was written in about 2000 or very late 1998, around about there, I think.
And how would people get hold of the book? Is it available in the United States?
As far as I know, I can assist with this because I could send a link onto your website with the book. I have no personal connection with the book. I just think it's an excellent text.
All right, fine.
We could get it put on your website, I'm sure.
All right, fine. And somebody just called and wanted to know the location of the building that's unfinished. It's in Strasbourg, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
All right, fine. Well, we'll tell our listeners just a moment again about that. Here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest today is Mr. Brian Garris. He's calling from Great Britain, or we're calling him from Great Britain. And one of our listeners that called in wanted to know the name and location of the building that is unfinished, and it is in Strasbourg, and it is the building where, of course, the European Union holds many of its meetings. They have meetings there and in Brussels. Does that building have a name?
I believe it's just known as the European Parliament Building.
European Parliament Building. And so I hope that answers the question for our listeners out there. And, of course, there's a wonderful book that Southwest Radio Church has put out that has pictures of that. We really probably should make that available to our listeners. The story is so incredible. Until you've actually seen pictures of that, until we have seen the videos that have been put together by people trying frantically to let people understand. There is an organized effort to destroy national sovereignty and, of course, to destroy conventional Christianity. Now, Mr. Garris was talking about a book that was written by Christopher Story entitled European Union Collective, and it goes into the background of the plan program to destroy the culture, the family, and just to develop those ideas in the book a little bit more, would you please?
Yes, certainly. Basically, the main part of the book is to demonstrate how both German and Russian politics since the Second World War have in fact been heading towards creating a European socialist state. Now, I've used the word socialist, but effectively the Nazis called themselves socialists, and obviously the communists called themselves socialists. So we will stick with the word socialist or fascist, it doesn't really matter. But the book describes how those two are linked together, and then it describes in great detail the plan by which our society is to be broken down. And one of the things that has interested me and the other groups of people who are trying to wake people up to what is happening is that people see around them things beginning to decline, They see that moral standards are dropping. They see that schools don't work, that school children are rebelling. In UK, we see hospitals that, through no fault of the staff, are becoming dirty and lacking money, and they're not working. So people see this subtle decline, and Mr. Story's book shows how this is not accidental. This is part of a planned attack. It's a socio-political economic attack on our country, and that is why it is so difficult for people to pick it up. If somebody was firing a gun at us, if somebody was actually dropping bombs on us, we would know we're being attacked. We are being attacked, but these very subtle, devious means are being used.
And I think that's absolutely right. These people on the other side are masters of deceit. And of course, what better way to destroy a nation than from within? Destroy the moral fabric, the beliefs, the traditions, the culture, the families. Destroy the very essence of what a nation is, and you've destroyed the nation. But most of all, destroy their belief in God. They've done a pretty good job of destroying the religious Christian beliefs of the people of Europe, and certainly of Great Britain, haven't they?
Oh, absolutely, because at the moment the churches are empty, effectively, and I think the most distressing thing is that the ministers of established churches, by and large, are frightened to speak out. They will not speak out about the decline in the country. They won't speak out about crime. They won't speak out about politicians who lie, who have appalling moral standards. Everything is silent. And I think this has come about because the church itself has been attacked and weakened. And whereas before, certainly the UK would have had a very strong Christian faith base, this has now been almost totally undermined. And I come back to the fact that it seems to be Christians outside the established church that are now waking up as to what is going on.
And I think that's very, very similar here in the United States. And I find that it's not so many that people in the traditional churches, because they're going right along with all of these ideas. Oh, my goodness, everything's got to change. You know, we've got to get involved. They're following the leadership of Mr. Rick Warren, who's working with the Council on Foreign Relations and the United Nations to change the music and the message of the church and get it down, applying all these things that they supposedly have learned, but they really aren't doing anything other than they're getting away from the scriptures. They're confusing with multiple translations. They're not planting the word of God in people's hearts. They're confusing the word of God and the message of the God, and they have a new gospel. It's a social gospel, and the Christians are going to remake the world and make it just a real nice place. Everybody getting along together and nobody really taking a stand for traditional Christian beliefs. Do you have the same thing going on over there?
Yes, it is. And I know that, and this may be a controversial subject, but I know that there are certainly some people who are becoming concerned about the effect of the Alpha Course. I believe that you have the Alpha Course in the state.
Well, I don't think we have it as effectively as you do, and I share your concern with the Alpha Course. In fact, apparently it really started more over there than it did here, didn't it?
Well, it started, I believe, originally with a connection with the Toronto Blessing.
Okay, fine.
And the gentleman, Nicky Gumbel, who then brought it on from there. I think is, once looking at very closely, is that the Alpha Course is very good on love and companionship and people being together, but it doesn't want to be confrontational. It doesn't want to talk about basic rights and wrongs, and it doesn't want to talk about adhering to a moral code. I believe that it forgets the Ten Commandments.
Well, isn't it really sort of gets into experiential? You're going to experience Christianity. You're not going to study it. You're not going to understand it. You're going to have some sort of an experience. Have you run into that attitude?
I have. In fact, because I've become interested in the course, I was challenged to do it. So I'm busy doing it at the moment. One thing I will say to be I suppose, fair is that I think there's a great difference depending on which people and which church holds the Alpha Course. If the church is solid and if it has good, well-grounded people who understand their Bible, then I think perhaps it can deliver quite a good course. But if it's in the hands of, I'm going to say, New Age churches, then I think what happens is exactly what you've described as a form of weak indoctrination. And certainly it doesn't back up the moral codes which are being stripped out of our society.
Well, no, you mentioned the New Age. Is there the New Age infiltrating the Christian churches in England as the New Age movement is infiltrating the Christian churches in America?
Yes, certainly. And one of the things that is very interesting to watch is that you can see that very often these new churches are very quickly working in partnership with the new local government and public structures. And I think this is a technique that is being used where everybody is encouraged to work in partnership with somebody else. And what this actually does is it means that people can then be manipulated in meetings using the Delphi technique so that a common objective is reached. And I'm going to say this then rather brings us back to where we started with this organisation, Common Purpose. Because the question is, what is the common purpose and whose common purpose is it? And I certainly don't think it's a Christian common purpose.
No, but what better way to work than within the Christian church to destroy the Christian church? And this is the great tragedy. They infiltrated our seminaries here in the United States 75 years ago. And, of course, they began to change the entire thrust. We have many, many ministers here in the United States who do not believe in the infallibility of the Scriptures, who do not believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ. It is a sort of a do-good thing. My goodness, as a minister, think of all the good you can do. And for those people who really do try to speak out and direct things and explain to people what's going on, there are people who have been planted in the church to get rid of ministers like that. I talked to a minister today who was forced out of two churches and cannot get a job as a minister today because he tried to tell people in his congregation what was happening. But there are people planted within our churches to destroy ministers like that. That's unfortunate, but this is a reality because what we're after, what we're really involved in, is something so momentous, the transformation of society and doing away with sovereignty, doing away with tradition, doing away with family, doing away with certainly all the things that have made both Great Britain and America a great nation.
Yes, this is all going on, excuse me, but something I think which is worth pointing out is that there are people who are desperately trying to get this message across, and some of them have been doing it some time ago. I've got a document in front of me which was a congressional record by Albert Hurlong Jr. And in 1963, he was reporting, presumably into Congress, what he saw as the communist goals to destroy the United States of America.
Now,
and what is fascinating is that it's got exactly the same things as we see going on around us in the UK. It's got such objectives as to do away with loyalty oaths, to get in amongst the schools and use them as transmission belts for socialism, use student riots, infiltrate the press. So here was this man in 1963 trying to stand up and warn the American people what was being done. But of course at that stage, because the plans were in their infancy, I suspect most Americans couldn't really feel the difference.
That was really clear. That's Cleon Skousen, isn't it?
Pardon?
The gentleman you're speaking of is Cleon Skousen?
Well, the name I've got here reported on the paper is a gentleman called Albert Hurlong.
I see. He was including this then in the congressional record.
Yes, it says the following was entered into the congressional record by Albert Hurlong Jr.,
yeah.
A Floridan, who served in Congress from 1949 to 69.
And, of course, basically the list of things, though, came from a book called The Naked Communist by Cleon Skousen, and was absolutely right. Long-range planning, but being helped at every turn here in the United States by members of the Council on Foreign Relations, like eight tax-exempt foundations, and so many people in government who have a different agenda, who have a different goal. Yeah, that's such an important list.
Yes. And something else which I came across and it instantly was absolutely correct with what we're seeing here in the UK, another lady called Lynn Stutter, who does work with education, she's done some very good research in this business of how groups of people are manipulated under Delphi, and particularly school children. And this is one of the things that we began to find with Common Purpose, that unbeknown to most parents, this organisation is into schools, selecting school children to become future leaders, and supposedly grooming them to become future leaders. But the average parent has no idea this is going on. If that's the basic plan, then what is coming for us via the European Union is very serious indeed, because the UK is now very close to a police state.
Well, of course, we have many of the same problems here. I don't think we're quite as far along as you are, although now, of course, in the name of fighting wicked Osama bin Laden, who's hiding in a cave, why, we've got to have every American has his phone tapped. Of course, they tell us it's only all about terrorism, and yet, of course, they have computers checking every one of our telephone calls, every one of our emails, every one of our faxes, looking for keywords and then getting people to go over them. And this has been going on for a long time. But now, in the name of fighting the wicked Osama bin Laden living in the cage, why, they're going to go ahead and make this perfectly legal. It's all right for the government to do that, because, after all, anybody out there might be a terrorist, or they might object to this move towards globalization, which is really what it's about. They're not fighting Islamic terrorism here in the United States. That's why they're not closing our border. That's why the president really wanted to turn our ports over to a company owned by the government of Dubai, and actually they run a number of our military factories anyway. They're not really worried about terrorism. But they use that as a justification for taking away our freedom. What justification are they using in Great Britain to take away your freedom?
Oh, well, exactly the same techniques. And I think that, well, the basic one is to keep trying to convince the public that there is a terrorist threat. We saw from the London Tube bombings that this was going to be used in order to further clamp down on personal freedoms. And I think a very large number of people in UK are not convinced by the London Tube bombings. The police have been very reluctant to release evidence and video footage. And so although we have foreign terrorists accused of perpetrating these bombings, I think people are beginning to become more and more suspicious that it's not quite that simple.
Well, I think that is really exciting, that as long as the people do not believe what they're being told by the media, it means that at least some of them can still think independently.
That's the encouraging thing. But to try and get the picture across to your listeners this afternoon, if we just take UK at the moment, we only have one more treaty for the Queen to sign, and the UK will cease to exist. We will be ruled by Europe. We are virtually a police state, and really the laws that have been pushed through from the European Union are 3 to 4 times more than is needed to make a police state. So obviously they're very, very keen that we become a police state. If you want to complain, they've come up with a law, which is Case Law 27499, which says it is illegal to criticise the EU. So that's a wonderful organisation to live in.
In other words, that's freedom of speech. So you're free to say whatever you want to, as long as you don't say something they don't want you to.
Correct.
And of course,
we have a total of one 111,000 European directives have been enforced since 1972. So for people who are trying to get on and earn a living and run their daily lives, we have this draconian impact of over 100,000 regulations.
We're almost out of time. Do you have a website or anything you'd like to get out for our listeners?
I would love to. I would like people to take a look at EU Truth, and that is www.eutruth.org.uk.
Okay, fine. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and again, that website is www.eutruth.org.uk. And certainly we recommend people go there to get the information. Well, we've got about 3 minutes for you to wrap up today's program. What thoughts would you like to leave with our listeners out across America?
One very simple thing. If you want to start to unravel what is happening to your country, follow the money. Look for fraud and corruption, because it will be rife in all your local organizations. And if you follow it from your local organizations, you will start to unravel the chain higher. Most importantly, though, I would like to say that if we're battling between good and evil, it is so vital that you pray. Prayer can move mountains, and this is what we need to do. You need to tell the truth. If you now really believe that something very evil and unpleasant is coming to the United Kingdom and the USA, you need to tell people about it. Your friends, your colleagues, your neighbours. Tell the truth, even though some people won't believe you. And I would say to you, lastly, you must stand up and challenge your church ministers who are failing to speak out. It is vital that we get the church to revive and to start speaking out the truth.
Amen to that. Well, of course, as you pointed out, and I sincerely believe, we're involved in a spiritual battle being played out on a political, ideological, cultural, economic, educational battlefield, and our job is to educate. Really, in the final analysis, and I tell my listeners all the time who tend to get discouraged, this is God's battle. We're not required to win. We're required to do our best. And no one has an excuse for not doing that, do they?
Nobody has an excuse, and I also believe we are starting to see the signs of the revival. People are having their eyes opened, and we just need to keep spreading the message. But be wise as serpents, because you have common purpose in the States. It purports to be a wonderful organization, and I'm really not sure it is.
Well, I think that all we can do, of course, is certainly work with our friends over in Europe, try to get people to understand that when national sovereignty is gone, the rules, the protections that we have, the right of habeas corpus, the right of protection from the excesses of government, will simply become a remembrance of things past. American traditions came from Great Britain. It wouldn't be a shame if both nations lost them. Mr. Garris, thank you so very much for being with us. Bye-bye, and God bless you.
Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and again, that website was www.eutruth.org.uk. That www.eutruth.org.uk. So if you'd like to get in touch with them, they're good people over there. And we're working with lots of people in England who are understanding what's going on. And of course, now committing themselves in this truly spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Well, one of the best tools we have available, of course, is my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Not because I wrote it, but it really does give you the information and understanding that we are dealing with enemies that hide their symbols in plain sight, that have an agenda, and of course they are motivated by organized evil. There are people who actually worship Lucifer and will bring about a world government, and that's really what it's all about. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it and watch it. You can get it on audio tape. You can get it on DVD. or you can get it on video. You get them all together in the Brotherhood of Darkness special. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will want to consider getting a case of the books. Now, we had made this offer maybe a year and a half ago, and we're actually out of books. A lot of them have been going out recently. It's time to do a new printing. So if you would like to get a copy of Brotherhood of Darkness, actually you can get 64 copies. You get a whole case of them. Ordinarily the book goes for $12.95. You're getting them for about two and a half each, something like that. You can afford to give them away, to lend them. You can sell them if you want to. You can do whatever you want to, but get the book out, because it will touch people's lives, and it hopefully will bring some people to a personal relationship with our Lord. And I know some people have actually left Masonry or the other secret societies when they suddenly realized how they'd been lied to and trapped into a frankly Luciferian organization. If you'd like to get a case of Brotherhood of Darkness, $149.95 plus $10 to $15 shipping depending upon what part of the country you're in, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And of course, we do hope that many of you want to know. Once, of course, we've sold the 40 cases, why, we'll close the offer. We are doing pretty well. People are actually taking a number of them now, and we're almost a quarter of the way towards our goal. It's a great deal for you, but of course it'll really help me. It will help Radio Liberty, and we need to get this book out, as many copies as we possibly can. I think we printed six or seven thousand copies last time, and I'd like to do the same again. So if you'd like to get a case of the books, 64 books, $149, $149.95 plus $10 to $15 shipping depending on where you are. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We hope many of you will want to get the new DVD we have called The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, which goes into the fact that there really were secret societies that came here in about 1640 to 1650. Their goal was to take over this country. They put their emblem on the back of the dollar bill. The eye hovering over the top of the pyramid, the unfinished pyramid. The eye is in a triangle, of course, and when the New World Order, the world government under the rule of Lucifer, has been accomplished, then the triangle will set under the top of the pyramid, and the ancient goal of the mystery religions will be fulfilled. And that's what President Bush said in his second inaugural speech when our founders declared the new order of the ages. And they were acting on an ancient hope which is meant to be fulfilled. What is the new order of the ages? It's Novo Ordo Seclorum. It's inscribed beneath the pyramid there. And, of course, that's what everything is about. That's why we're fighting over the Middle East now, not to bring democracy and freedom, but to bring chaos and ultimately to bring the new order of the ages, the Novo Ordo Seclorum, the new world order. So we ask you, of course, to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders and ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.